First reading is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise, because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And the second reading is Matthew 6, starting at verse 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, stating, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Bart rang me up a few weeks ago to see whether I could come up today. I said, yes, that'll be okay, Bart, no worries. What have you been preaching about? So, we're talking about prayer. I shouldn't have opened my big mouth. I feel so inadequate to preach about prayer. I'm not a good prayer. When I look at the prayers in the Bible, prayers of Moses and David and Solomon, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and even Samson, who was the original hooligan, I see just how feeble my own prayers are. Oh yes, I pray, I do pray every morning, but really, it's so mundane. I pray about the passages I've just read in the scriptures. I think over what happened the day before, what we're planning to do today. And then I pray for various missionaries I know and missionary organisations. But it's not very exciting. But it should be. Prayer should be exciting. It really should. By the power of the Holy Spirit, when we pray in a very special way, we are ushered into the very presence of God. That God who was spoken about in that psalm, the one who made this world and all that there. That's what should happen when we pray. Now, I mentioned Moses and David and a few others in the Old Testament, and yes, we have to admit that these were men who were specially called by God for a special purpose, and he specially empowered them to do that task. Endowed them, is the word we would use, endowed them with his spirit, moved them into a special relationship, filled them with his spirit. But all of us are endowed. The Holy Spirit is not given to just a few specials. It is given to everybody who would go by the name of Christian. You are endowed, filled with this Spirit, and that's what will enable you to pray. And I'll come back to this point a little bit on later. Let me move into the New Testament, the epistles, and of course Paul. And it's significant to note that the first time we meet Paul, after he has been converted on the Damascus Road, he is praying. Acts. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go to the house of Judas and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." Yes. Now Paul, or Saul as he was at that stage, he would have prayed a lot. He was a Pharisee, one of those who observed meticulously the letter of the Mosaic law. He would have prayed at the set times in the day. He would have prayed in the temple. He would have prayed everywhere. He knew how to pray. But now his prayer life has been changed. No longer is he praying to a God who's perhaps somewhere out there. Don't know. He is now in a close personal relationship with Jesus, the risen Jesus. And his whole life, he's overwhelmed by this infilling of the Spirit which he has received. Filled with the Holy Spirit, changed life, overwhelmed. And this Spirit-filled life he now has spills over into his writings, his letters to the various churches that he established and fostered, that we are so fortunate to have in our Bibles, the epistles of Paul. Really, we are just so lucky. Do you realise that if the telephone had been invented in those days, we wouldn't have the epistles? Let alone your mobiles and iPads and all that. But because they were written down, we have them today. Okay. I've lost my place. There we are, yes. He writes to these churches, and with one exception, every epistle starts off in a prayerful manner. He starts off by praising God, thanking God that the people here, that he has called them into a relationship with them, that he's called these people into his kingdom. And then as he goes through the epistle at various points, he prays. He says, "I pray." And he prays that God will give the people he's writing to knowledge, power, but above all, love. Just one example from Ephesians. "For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And that's the theme that runs through all of Paul's writing, giving thanks and praying that God would look after these people. And then the writer to the Hebrews, he states one of the most important facts, I believe, found in the New Testament. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence." Jesus, high priest, sitting at God's right hand on our behalf, there for us. In the days that these writings were made, of course, the high priest was the head of the faith in Jerusalem at the temple. He would pray on behalf of all the Jewish people, just the Jewish people, nobody else. Yeah. He would pray for them. But now we have a high priest, Jesus, who prays for us in the very presence of God. He ushers us into God's presence. And then James. Yeah, James has a warning and a direction. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, wrong motives. But he goes on. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Yes, wrong motives and praying for the sick. And I'll come back to those two points shortly. But let's look at Jesus. Surely he should be the model for our prayer life. He should be the model for a whole of our lives, but in the prayer life this morning. After all, he taught his disciples and us how to pray. Remember that? Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father taught us how to pray. You see, Jesus knew that the disciples who had seen him and heard him praying, how they really didn't know how to do it. So he wanted them to understand that they prayed to their Father. What does he say? Our Father. He wants them to realise that God is their Father as it was his Father. Yes. And so they went to the Master to find out how to pray. Now, the Gospels don't have a lot of Jesus' prayers recorded, but they do comment a lot on when and where he prayed. And it's worth noting for our own prayer lives, I believe. Now, I won't give you all the references, but Jesus would pray in the morning, early, before daylight. Very good before daylight this morning, wasn't it? Yes. He would go before daylight. And it was evening, particularly after having a hard day performing miracles and teaching and being hassled by the scribes and the Pharisees. He went somewhere to be alone, no interruption, concentration. And he prayed all night before he chose 12 of the disciples to be the 12 apostles. And he was praying when John baptized him and the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove. Jesus was praying. But as I said, actual prayers, not many at all. In John's Gospel, there is that long prayer which he prays for the disciples on that night, the Friday night of the Passover meal, that Last Supper in the upper room. He prayed for the disciples in John's Gospel. It's worth reading carefully. And of course, later that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if you will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but yours be done. And having prayed that, there was no turning back onto the cross. Do you have trouble praying? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. Do you have trouble praying? I'd be surprised if you don't. Prayer is not a natural thing. It's not like eating and drinking and all those sort of things. It's something that we have to work at. It is not natural. Let me give you a tricky verse. God is a spirit, and worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a familiar verse, isn't it? We've all heard it. But it is a tricky verse, a hard to get hold of. God is a spirit. Yes. And it's only by the Holy Spirit that our spirit can be linked to God in worship. And worship is prayer. We have worship here each Sunday, but you have worship in your own personal lives. Now, if I remember rightly, Bart spoke about this idea of the whole of your life being prayer. And if you can't remember it, you ask him next week. Yes, worship, true worship is prayer. Adoration, confession, praise and supplication. But if you are having difficulty with prayer, don't despair. Help is at hand, at your right hand. Look at the Psalms. They're full of prayers. This one this morning. Gosh, what am I in comparison to you, O God? What is man that you are mindful of him? The Creator. You've done this, you've done that. Take a psalm like that and use it as a prayer for yourself. Now, you can be a bit off-putting when you look at the Psalms. Of course, a few of them, quite a few of them, are rather bloodthirsty, aren't they? Let me give you an example. Psalm 5, it says this. The psalmist pleads with God, asking him to destroy them who tell lies. Declare them guilty, O Lord. Let their intrigues be downfall. Banish them for their many sins. Would you be game to pray that prayer? I don't know. Be wary. But that's what the psalm says. But it also goes on with some better thoughts. Same psalm, 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Yes, he prays to God and is expecting an answer. And there are lots of verses, lots of psalms along those lines. Echo the words of the psalms in your own prayer life. Use them as the basis. Lay before God. And there's lots of good books of prayers. There's lots of good books on prayer, but there's lots of good books of prayers. Prayers written by somebody else, but prayers that you can use for your own thought. Use them as the basis of your thoughts in prayer. But let me finish on 4 points. Are we endowed by the Holy Spirit? Does God hear our prayers? Does God answer our prayers and praying for the sick? Now, I said earlier that the great figures in the Old Testament were endowed by God's Spirit to do a special job, Moses, David, etc. But we too are endowed with the Holy Spirit. Never doubt that. Romans, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And from John's Gospel, Jesus speaking, but you know him, the Spirit of truth, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Spirit will lead you in your prayer. It is God's Holy Spirit that makes us his sons and daughters. And don't you talk to your father and mother? And doesn't your mother and father talk to you? Just as you are their sons and daughters, so you are God's sons and daughters. Second question. Does God hear us? Does he? Yes. Absolutely yes. Psalms again. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. Isaiah. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ears too dull to hear. Yeah, God hears your prayers all right. He really does. And of course, there's a catch. Yes, there's always a catch, isn't there? Remember that passage verse from James I read? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask for wrong motives. Yes, sometimes God's answer to your prayer is no. Fortunately, a lot of the time it is yes. We don't want the no answer, do we? Because what we're praying for, we believe, is important and worthwhile. And we've got the right motive for praying for it. So we want the answer to be yes. But sometimes it's no. And that can be very hard. Very hard. Yes, James hit it right on the head. And then sometimes the answer is wait. Not now, just wait. And it will work out. And then thirdly, praying for the sick. And this is the tough one. It really is. All of us, I'm sure, have prayed for someone, friend, relative, who's been seriously ill. And we prayed, of course, that they would be healed. And sometimes, praise God, the answer was yes. Other times, it was no. Two members of our extended family, brother and sister, married, children, both had cancer. And we prayed for them, as others did too. John, and not you, John, John McKenzie, his name was, came to us at Oakley. He was on 6 weeks to live, cancer, and we prayed for John. And he lived another 10 years. And in that 10 years, he made a wonderful contribution with his computer skills to the work of our parish. Disease and death. They're the two big stumbling blocks in the Christian faith. And when people ask me, why does this happen? Why did that happen to me or to whatever? The only thing I can say is, I don't know. And that's the only thing you can say. I don't know. You can't rationalise it. It's under God's control. We know it's God's will when things go good or when things go not so good. But we can pray that whatever is happening for the best of all involved. Whatever is happening for the best of all those involved. Let me finish with a verse from Thessalonians. Be joyful. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Now, after that, I guess a bit of pray. Now, gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift that you have given us of prayer, wherein we can come into your presence in that special way, in a one-to-one relationship, and talk with you about the things in our lives and other people's lives. We ask, Lord, that you'll give us the right motives, right understanding, the right things to pray for. Father, we thank you that when the answer is yes, but again, we praise you when the answer is no. And so we hope that you will help us through those times as you will help everybody. Be with us now. Foster us in your love for us. Increase our prayer life. For we ask in your Son's precious name. Amen.